So tonight we're talking to Jonathan Royal, and we're going to tell you a little bit more about him in just a moment. But before we get started, I want to tell you what Fit as a Fiddle Plus is all about. That is our group tonight. The definition of fit as a fiddle is to be in fantastic health. Well, nowadays, fit means healthy. However, in the past, fit meant fitting, as in something that is well-suited for a particular purpose. So we want you to be fit as a fiddle plus in the four domains of health: the physical, the mental, the emotional, and the spiritual. So join us as we explore everything health and wellness. And are you ready to go to the next level? We want you to be well-suited for all of your endeavors. So we meet up the fourth Monday of every month at 6 o'clock p.m. We do have a recording. All of the recordings are put over into my platform. You can find me at kathybenner.com. Simply scroll down to Fit as a Fiddle Plus and click through for all of our replays. So tonight we have Jonathan. I am so excited. Jonathan was born Alex William Smith. So do all of your close friends call you Jonathan, or do they call you Alex?
The vast majority, Jonathan, just because it saves confusion. It's partly because it's a much better sounding name, Jonathan Royal, when you're getting introduced at events or performing, which is part of what I do. If you believe in what many might think is winky wanky, arty farty, new age, tree hugging nonsense, then Jonathan Royal has a better numerological number than Alex Smith does, according to the numerology books.
Okay.
But it actually just looks better. It looks better on a cover than Alex Smith on a book. That's part of it. And also it's a way kind of psychologically detaching from, it was a way of drawing the line under the past as well a bit.
Okay. Well, you came into show business family and you made your stage debut at age 3 and a bit as Flap the Clown on Gandhi Circus. Yep. And today you're known worldwide as one of the most controversial, outspoken, and truly unique hypnotic entertainers. You first started treating people with hypnotherapy in 1989 at age 14, and you performed your first stage hypnosis shows in 1990 at age 15. Yep. And your first live hypnosis training seminar teaching fellow professionals your unique techniques took place in September of 93. So now you're in demand as a motivational and inspirational speaker. You're a success coach. You're a trainer in all areas of mind control. And in recent years, you also promoted, advised, and consulted for many other top names in the industry. Now you're a creator, developer, and pioneer of his unique approach of complete mind therapy, which can be used to treat almost any person with almost any problem. That is so interesting. Royal's complete mind therapy combines the most effective elements of the tried, tested, and proven to work real-world treatment strategies. Now, perhaps your most memorable achievement was being asked by USA Today to use your complete mind therapy skills in an interview with Robert De Niro and Billy Crystal to help promote their 2002 film, Analyze That. His mind skills have been employed by organizations including McDonald's, Rathbones Bread, Hilton Hotels, and Showbiz UK. Quite an impressive bio. And we were just chatting. The way we met was through an author's group, and he is also an author. So we're going to talk about all of that tonight. So give us a little bit of your background.
Well, you've done a pretty good overview there. I mean, you have covered some of the real main bullet points, but I mean, when I'm asked that question, my answer normally is that, which will repeat some of what you said. Sorry about that. But yeah, I was born on the 13th of August, 1975. That's relevant because, just to put it in perspective, that makes me 48 when it comes to this August. That just makes everything else relative time-wise when I tell you about it. 3 and a bit, I was Britain's youngest paid circus clown, Flap the Clown, with a big grey wig, red nose, the clown's makeup, the silly stuff. And anyone who wants to see the embarrassing photographs and videos of me at that age, there's nothing for sale where I'm going to say, by the way. Just, it's literally just a page of photos and video links and stuff. And that's Magical Guru, magicalguru.co.uk. People can see the embarrassing pictures. But also it will show you that what I'm, because some of what I'm going to say will sound batshit crazy. And in fact, it sounds stranger than fiction. So that is why I put that particular page together so that people have got an easy way of finding independent third-party websites, newspapers, magazines, TV shows, to see that I haven't just lost the plot and this is stuff that has actually happened in my life, because some of it's a bit bizarre, as you will hear in a moment. Because on the circus, I was born there, so I started performing there, which is what is normal. However, still some strange things happened to me. Namely, at the age of 4, I was playing hide and seek with the other kids on the circus. And I, unbeknownst to me at the time, but I soon found out, hid under the lion tamer's caravan, and chained up underneath was a puma, as in P-U-M-A, puma, a wild cat.
Okay.
Which was somewhat surprised to see me crawling underneath the caravan. And as a result, it started playing with me, and I've now got scar marks down my back, on my head. My left ear was ripped off. I normally wear a hearing aid now. I've got headphones in at the minute, but my left ear was ripped off and it's now somewhat smaller than my right ear. I had to be surgically reattached. So that was something of a traumatic experience at the age of 4. People would recognise that and go, yeah, that'd be traumatic.
Mm-hmm.
At the age of 5, still with Gandhi Circus, in England there's a tea company called Brookbond Tea, and they have a brand of tea that you drink called PG Tips. And if people go on YouTube, because people in America probably won't have seen these adverts, but if they type in PG Tips, chimpanzee or chimp or monkey tea adverts, you'll see that in the 70s and 80s, they did these adverts where the chimps were dressed as humans and they dubbed voices on and stuff. Well, those exact chimps came on tour with the circus. And when they'd finished their act, they'd be taken back to the dressing room area with their trainer, Billy Day. And I'd be walking with my dad to get ready for our next performance. And our paths would cross 2 shows a day, 6 days a week. And every time as their paths crossed, my dad would say, "You're right, Billy." And Billy would say to my dad, "You're right, Tizzy." And he was known as Tizzy the Clown. And in that very moment, that very second, that very instant, whichever was the chimpanzee nearest him used to whack me around the side of the head. And apparently I used to say, "Dad, he's done it again." And that happened twice a day, 6 days a week. So some, you know, you could probably, I think most would agree that that would, for a 5-year-old, go into the category of traumatic incident.
Yes, yes.
I've had multiple near-death experiences, you know, been involved in road traffic accident, very close, after a show in my teenage years, person who it turned out was deranged on drugs and alcohol and stuff, decided to attack me and a number of other people, and I was lucky to escape, but I got scarred because the side of my mouth was split open, my face. It was, I'm lucky to be here, is what I'm getting at. And those are things that people would recognise as traumatic experiences. But the thing is, I, just like everybody watching or listening this, and that includes the people who are sat listening to this or watching this, who are saying to themselves, "I'm so fortunate, I never had any traumas in my life." Because there's some rare people out there who think that. But I've got some good news and bad news for you. The bad news is you're wrong. You may not be consciously aware of the fact, but you most definitely have had traumatic experiences in your life. You might not consciously remember them. Now, the good news, before I go into that a bit more, is that there are ways to release any negativity that may still be stored there in what I call your personal necktop computer, your unconscious subconscious mind, the imagination, our memory banks, as it were, which is what no doubt we'll end up talking about. But why do I say we've all had traumas? Well, I had tons of them growing up. Well, they're not as immediately obvious as getting your ear ripped off by a puma. You know, people have been abused as a child, obvious, you go, yep, that would have been traumatic. But you know what? Imagine a 3-year-old at a birthday party playing with the balloons and they may be noticed there's one green bloom takes their attention and they grab it. And in that moment, as a child, when you're a three-year-old, your imagination is so enhanced that you kind of turn things into reality in a split second. So it's no longer a green bloom. It instantly becomes maybe, I don't know, a magical fairy castle full of fairies. And then an adult walks past and accidentally knocks the child, who falls over onto the adult, a balloon, and it bursts, makes a noise, and the child starts crying. And the adult observing this believes, oh dear, balloon pop made a loud noise. That's why the child's crying. Because that's the adult perception. So the idea of saying that that could have a negative effect in later life for that individual in some manner, and could contribute, along with other what I call mini traumas, to them having habits, addictions, fears or phobias, might sound ridiculous at first sight or first hearing. But when you consider that the three-year-old with the three-year-old's brain processing and perception of things, in that moment it wasn't a balloon that got burst, it had already become the magical fairy castle full of little magical fairies who've now just been killed. The castle's been destroyed. This, to that three-year-old in that moment, to them is as real and as traumatic as for us as an adult, one of our family members or loved ones or friends dying tragically in a car crash.
Wow. And so, again, at that
point, it gets frozen in time, as a kind of abstract traumatic imprint into your personal laptop computer that the conscious can't do anything about. It conscious probably not even aware of it. We have so many of these mini traumas from birth up to now. Sigmund Freud, or Sigmund Freud as more people know him, said the formative years were 0 to 7 years of age. In my experience and observation, I actually think that the critical faculty, the analytical area of the mind, or as some people call it in psychology, the executive function, I actually don't think that that starts really kicking in properly until just around puberty, the teenage years. So, you know, for most people, that's going to give them, that's from birth to about 13 years where there can have been dozens of these mini traumas every year. Mm-hmm. And they all get frozen in time, but with the perception of the three-year-old or the four-year-old or the five-year-old or the six, and they all mount together, making this big mass of traumatic, I'm going to call it shit, excuse the language, but there is a reason I use the metaphor of shit, I'll come to later with the book, that starts to weigh the person down without them being consciously aware. So there's more and more negative shit building up in that computer. It's like a laptop that starts to get viruses or crap on the hard drive. It runs slower, or it manifests errors. Well, so in human life, errors can be habits that form, or addictions, or fears, or panic attacks, or anxiety, or depression, or a whole bunch of other potential things. And the fact is that no amount of conscious effort, no amount of I must stop this happening in my life, or I must make this happen, no amount of conscious effort is ever long-term consistently going to make it happen, unless you actually go through the process of deleting all the negative crap from the hard drives of your personal laptop computer, and also, for safety purposes, installing what I call metaphoric mental antivirus software in there to stop further crap getting in the future, or at least to dissipate it and give you an early warning signal so you can deal with it there and then in the moment, so it doesn't become another frozen in time traumatic thing dragging you down. And that's what, because I, coming from that circus background, I got bullied at when I did go to school, because I was the odd one out. This came from a circus family. I was a clown. Plus, I've got ginger hair when I let it grow. So that gave them something else to bully me over, the old ginger nuts and far more explicit insults that they come out with on a daily basis. And then in later years, physical bullying as well, that it had a really negative effect on my mental health. And what got me into these things to help other people, it was actually initially it was a search to find answers to basically sort my own head out, get over my own shit, put the negative shit behind me and move forward without having, without feeling bad. Because sometimes people can get over things, but they still walk around with, some people call it baggage, but I call it, you're still carrying shit around with you, aren't you? You know, whether that's self-blame, shame, guilt, regret, fear, frustration, failure, anger, anguish, anxiety, resentment, regret, or remorse. Those are all things that we need to cut the ties from. So it can then be like a huge weight being lifted off our shoulders and a sudden sense of freedom or becoming whole again. That then, and the way to get there is through using those initials, F-A-R again, but with a positive use. So through forgiveness, sometimes of other people, but quite often of ourselves, forgiving the two-year-old, the three-year-old, the four-year-old, the five-year-old us, who just, of course it froze in time like that because the child didn't know any better, but there are mental processes we can run and go through that allow metaphorically our inner child at that age to process things now through the eyes of us as an adult so that we can let it go. So the amygdala and the brain can actually process it and let go of it. So the trauma's gone, which is incredibly important in people who've developed any form of post-traumatic stress disorder or CPTSD. You know, it's got to be processed for the amygdala to release it. So I was searching for answers to my own problems. And that led me ultimately, by the age of 14, to becoming the youngest ever certified clinical hypnotherapist member of the Association of Professional Hypnotherapists and Psychotherapists here in England. And just to clarify, people are thinking, how the hell did he manage that? Well, I lied about my age. Because I was wise enough that I figured they wouldn't, I knew, said you had to be 18 to take the course. So I lied about my age because it was a correspondence thing. Once I passed, I came clean to Dr. Brian Howard, who set it up. And yes, he was angry at first that I'd lied. But in the end, he turned around and went, well, you still passed the exam law with flying colours. And he reissued me another certificate with my correct date of birth on. So I've actually got two certificates, one that shows me as being 18 at the time I passed them on the 14th. And
what,
then
what
he was
age
a great
was
support.
That age decide you wanted to do that? I mean, what 14-year-old is
because
it?
Because I wanted answers for myself. And I'd seen a book at the library because I do math. As well as born on the circus, I did the clowning. But then I was spending the money I was earning from that on magic tricks. That was my hobby. But then by the time I was about, before I was 10, I stopped doing the clowning because I thought that's the reason I was getting bullied. But I'd got addicted to an audience clapping. And that's almost like, it feels like love and appreciation. Mm-hmm. So I still needed to perform. And so I was doing magic shows. And where you get the books, magic books in the library, it's the sports and pastimes section in the Dewey Library decimal numbering system. It's the same worldwide. To the right hand side of the sports and pastimes section is the self-help and popular psychology section. And one day I noticed a book with a spine that said How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. And I thought, and I was about 12 at the time, and this came shortly after, I've left a bit out, but this came shortly after things had got so bad mentally that I tried to end it all. Wow. By lying down in the middle of Queen's Park Road, the busiest main road in Heywood. And yet the bizarre thing is this road was always a nightmare to get across. But it's suddenly gone quiet and this thought entered my head and went and lay down in it. It was winter fall time where it gets darker quicker. And it seemed like forever and no traffic came. To the point that I got fed up. Now, I don't know exactly how long I was lay there. It could have been probably only 30 seconds or a minute because time's relative, you know. You can bump into a friend you've not seen for years, go for a coffee, think you've been speaking for 15, 20 minutes, and then look at your watch and see it was 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And conversely, you could also, like, you know, have a job appraisal with the boss and you think you've been in there for an hour, but you come out and it was only 5 or 6 minutes, but it's the longest 5 or 6 minutes of your life. So I don't know how long I was there. All I do know is it got to the point I got fed up and I stood up and made my way back to the sidewalk pavement for people in England. And the moment I put my foot, first foot on the pavement, I suddenly heard this whoosh, and I felt a massive draft, and I turned my head and I saw a massive articulated truck lorry pass by, and then moored, and then cars, and it's like, yeah, well, that's the Queen's Park Road I've always known it to be. What the heck's going on here? But also in that moment, excuse the language, I shit myself, which is another inspiration and tie-in with the book. And I didn't realise at the time, other than it gave me a sense of clarity that there must be a better way of dealing with this. But in later years, I've seen online stories from people who tried to end it all by jumping out of multi-story buildings or off the roofs of them who survived, maybe with life-changing injuries, but they survived nonetheless. And they've all consistently said the same thing. That what pushed them to do it, the same as me at that time, that I thought there was too many problems, I couldn't handle it all, and they said similar. But they realised that when they jumped out that window and they're hurling towards the floor, that they actually only had one problem, just one. And that one problem was that they just jumped out the window and were hurling towards the floor. Kind of, it's like, gives a moment of clarity. And in that moment of clarity, I thought, I've got to find a different way. And then it was like synchronicity, seeing that book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. I thought, this is it. If I read that book, if I can influence the bullies to become friends, then I stop getting bullied, then I'm going to feel better. That was my logic as a 12-year-old. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, as good as that book is for adults, when applied with common sense, the techniques on other adults, for a 12-year-old using it on other 12-year-olds, not so good. In fact, if anything, it made matters worse. However, the bright side was I'd found the self-help and popular psychology section of the library. And a few weeks later, I found another book called The Power of Auto-Suggestion and Positive Mind Programming by a French gentleman, no longer with us. He was from the 1800s, Emile Couet. He's most famous for the personal self-affirmation of day by day, in every way, I'm getting better and better. Or slight variation is day by day, in every way, I'm feeling better and better. And you're supposed to say this to yourself 15 times, which is a multiple of three. The idea being that multiples of three work for the first time, the conscious mind hears it and goes, nah. Then the critical faculty, analytical area, or executive function hears it and goes, nah, I'm not too certain. The third time it goes, oh, I'm fed up with this, and kind of blanks out, gets distracted. So then with repetition of the others, eventually some of it will get through to the unconscious, subconscious, personal laptop computer. Some of it can plant like a seed, and over time through repetition morning and night, some of this can grow to actually have you start believing in yourself more. I mean, I've since learned far more rapid, more powerful techniques than that, but this was a great starting point, and it did help. It helped increase my resilience and raise my self-esteem a bit, but far from perfect. But what I did also learn in this book were three psychological techniques that, and I think that's the start of me developing my own techniques, because I learned three things from that book and then combined them together. And it was kind of like, well, I've nothing to lose, because by this point on a daily basis, the bully would come up, pin me against the wall. His entourage would be there. He'd give me a lot of verbal shit. They'd be laughing, and then he'd hit me. They'd laugh again. He'd walk off, and that'd be it for that day. Well, in this book, I learned technique called the law of reversed effort, the idea that what resists persists, or as they sometimes say in NLP, that you get more of what you focus on in life. Mm-hmm. An example of this is people give themselves personal affirmations of the idea, I'm no longer going to be poor, I'm no longer going to be poor, and then they wonder why they remain poor. Well, the thing is, you think you're trying to, you know, by saying you're not going to be poor, that's going to help you, but actually no. because you're suggesting to yourself that you could remain poor, that you currently are poor, and you get more of what you focus on. Far better would be to say day by day in every way, I continue to become richer and richer. And it's got to be said continue, because if you say I get richer and richer every day, there's going to be some days where you might not make any extra money or save any money. So your brain's going to end up going, this isn't true. And the critical factor is going to ignore that. Whereas if it's something that is believable, and then any little signpost in life can be searched out by the reticular activating system of the brain. This is like the red car syndrome. You buy a new car that's red and you hadn't seen any before, but then you bought one, you're driving around it and everyone seems to have the same car. They were always there. It's just it became more personal to you. So your brain started to seek it out. But when you can seek out something positive, like signs that you are continuing to get richer and richer every day, for example, then even if you only found 1 pence on the floor or 1 cent, the executive function will go, this is true. That's a cent more than I had yesterday. This all happened in a split second. Or if it's just that somebody gives you a compliment that makes you feel better, that in itself, because richer doesn't necessarily have to mean money. So I'm getting richer and richer. It can accept any little signpost from life as being validation that actually, yes, it's true. And giving yourself these self-suggestions is working. And the more your brain believes that giving yourself positive suggestions is working, the more it actually, in turn, paradoxically, makes things more likely to work even better for you. Okay. So that was one thing it taught. Then it taught the element of the law of reversed effort, which is, this is what stage hypnotists use when they get people to put their hands together and they say, imagine they're locking, gluing, welding, cementing together now. Try to separate your hands. It's that the power of the word try. So, for example, if you invite somebody to a party and they say, I'll try and get there, 9 times out of 10, they'll never show up. Whereas if they said, yeah, I'll be there, 9 times out of 10, they will. So I relate this to Yoda in Star Wars, the scene with Luke Skywalker, where he's there with Luke Skywalker and teaching him the lightsaber and the pondy, swampy thing. And he says, no, Luke, do not try. What is it? Do or do not. There is no try. In other words, if you keep saying you're going to try and do it, Luke, you're never going to get the hang of it. You're either not doing it or you're doing it. You've got to kind of have that focus, because the word try implies you won't be able to do. And that's a suggestion the mind takes hold of for the stage hypnotist, and thus people find their hands a lot together. But in everyday life, I'll try and do better at this. Well, invariably, or I'll try and stop smoking. Well, yeah, you might stop smoking for 3 months, 6 months, but invariably people relapse and go back to it at some point. Or they remain a non-smoker, but because they've not dealt with those underlying things that caused it in the first place, because they've still got those negative programs running in the personal laptop computer, that shit and those mini traumas we talked about have not been dealt with, symptom substitution, as it's called, can occur. So yeah, they might have stopped smoking, but they end up biting the fingernails instead, or eating more sugary and fatty foods or something, because it's like the unconscious subconscious mind's trying to scream for help, that there's things in here you need to deal with. When you've dealt with them, then yeah, then you'll be free. You can let go of all that self-blame, shame, guilt, regret. You can let go of all that shit, as it were, and move forward. So yeah, I learned that technique. And then there was another one called the pattern interrupt, which in hypnosis, there was a famous, no longer with us, hypnotist called Milton Erickson. And he's known for the Milton Erickson handshake induction, but there were people doing similar years before that. It's just he got more publicity, as it were. And this is based on the fact that in most cultures around the world, there's obviously some places where this doesn't apply, and in fact, places where this would be seen as rude. Some places they will not shake hands. But England, America, generally speaking, if I was to put my hand out like that towards you, your instinct would be to put your hand out towards me, hands connect, shake hands, nice to meet you, because that matches the pattern of what you've learnt in life and expect to occur and what's stored in your personal laptop computer. So you see the hand coming towards you, You're conscious, without even being consciously aware of it, your subconscious goes, memory banks, hand coming towards me. It's not in a fist, so it's not a threat. Hand out like that. Oh, yeah, it's handshaking. That makes you, before you're even thinking about it, put your hand out. This is kind of what goes on. However, if as I put my hand out, you come towards it, and instead of me connecting with you, I suddenly grab hold of your wrist, twist your hand round, and start bringing your hand towards your face, and say, as your hand comes towards your face, your eyes start closing down, your heavy head falls forth, and you enter a lovely relaxing state. And a few other words that I won't say on here because I don't want to affect anyone inadvertently off the airwaves. I can actually turn that into what's known as a pattern interrupt hypnotic induction, because it interrupts the pattern of what you expected. So it causes disorientation and confusion. It's kind of causes that rabbit in the headlights. You've got fight, flight, and freeze. There's also shite as well. But fight, flight, freeze, and shite, you either fight, live another day, flight, run away, shite, hoping the stink gets rid of the enemy, or freeze like the rabbit in the headlights of what's going on, which is the confusion and disorientation caused by the pattern interrupt. And that causes sensory overload and tends to make people feel really uncomfortable. But in that moment, the critical faculty, analytical area, executive function of the brain, whatever you wish to call it, is overloaded, sensory overload, distracted. And if you think of it like a nightclub doorman who's been getting too much grief and he goes, oh, F this, I'm quitting my job, it buggers off for a while. And in that moment, you can make a command or a suggestion, whichever you want to call it, and it's got no resistance and it goes directly into that personal laptop computer. So I learned these techniques, and I woke up one day, and I've always had this weird way of being able to learn things and then sleep and wake up, and ideas or ways of trying adapting things have come to me while I've been asleep. And I thought, nothing to lose. So the next day at school, when the bully came up, as I saw that hand coming towards me.
I think I froze again.
Have I unfroze now?
Yeah, we're okay.
We're okay. Cool. In that moment, as the hand came towards me, I thought, nothing to lose. Give it a go. So before it made a full connection to my throat, I said, why don't you just forget about your effing, I obviously swore, your effing stupid comments and just effing get on with it and try and hit me. Go on, effing try and hit me. And at that moment, the hand did connect on my throat, but not as tight as normal. And it was in that moment that anyone watching the video version, it was sort of like their eyes kind of went, I'll try and do it, but it's sort of like, and a weird look like that kind of came over their face. And I thought, I think this is what the book was on about, sensory overload. I think some confusion and disorientation's coming here. And I'm using the word tried. Go on, try it, mate. Go on. And the looking more confused, and then suddenly they let go of me, turned to their entourage and said, follow me, guys. And as they walked off, they just said, don't effing come near me ever again. Well, I had no intentions of doing, and I didn't. And it was that day that I learned, just as words can be like weapons sometimes and really can cut deep, because whoever said, sticks and stones will break my bones, men will never hurt me, I was talking bullshit. Repetition and negativity can...
Mm-hmm.
It was that day I learned that words, with the correct psychological structure and techniques used, of mental processes, can also be life-changing, because that stopped the bullying. Now, unfortunately, fortunately then, I did come across this advert for this mail order hypnotherapy course, and it said, learn to become a clinical hypnotherapist, help people overcome habits, addictions, fears, phobias, and feel better about themselves. And it was that phrase that really caught me more than anything, feel better about themselves, because by this time, these years of bullying, my self-esteem, my self-confidence and all that taken a knock. The only time when I felt truly alive or confident was on stage when an audience was applauding, mm-hmm. You know. And I did that course. And again, from then at the age of 14, what I should have done, and I don't know why I didn't, but what I should have done is then apply the techniques I learned on that course on myself. And then what happened over the next 4 or 5 years would never have occurred. because between the ages of 14, well, it wasn't until I was maybe about 15 and a bit, but it took me until I was 19 for the real wake-up call. I did end up drinking too much, smoking cannabis, taking cocaine, and other escape things that manifested because I've not dealt with those, all those stored mini traumas that I spoke about. I'd not healed the metaphoric child. I'd not deleted the negative shit, got rid of it, and installed mental antivirus software. And yet, I was practically on a daily basis doing that and guiding other people through it and helping them overcome habits, addictions, fears, phobias, and all this, that, the other. And I just woke up one day and I thought, what the hell are you doing? You're spending more money than you're earning. And I was doing really well, above average, at that age, but I was spending more because I was like, whoa. I just woke up. I don't know what triggered it. I just woke up one day and thought, no, enough's enough. And I stopped those things, but I knew it wouldn't be that easy, withdrawal symptoms, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. So I did what I should have done, really, back when I was 14, and used the techniques I'd learned in the hypnotherapy course. To enable myself to have the resilience, the willpower, the self-control, and all the things I needed in order to not suffer from the withdrawal symptoms, in order to not need those things, in order to overcome the mini traumas, heal the metaphoric inner child, and install that mental antivirus software. And then when I woke up fully and had even more clarity, because it's like, why didn't you do that to yourself sooner type of thing, became almost evangelical, I suppose you could say, by the time I was about 20, in wanting to help other people mm-hmm. overcome this. And I tried out, but I wanted to be able to get the most rapid result I could for them that would consistently last long term. Because through experimentation, I found there were things that would help them pretty much almost instantly, but they might wear off several months down the line. No good. That didn't fit with what I wanted to do. I needed to find ways where they could get rid of all the mini traumas, heal the inner child, so that there wasn't going to be symptom substitution. There wasn't going to be relapses. And I guess that I didn't start writing this until about 2 years ago, and I didn't release it until towards the end of 2022.
Okay.
So, this is just quite a few decades experience gone into it. And what I realized was, and this is a key to everything that's in this book, Shipnosis, every single technique, the whole philosophy comes down to this, that I realized that all of us as human beings, whether we're consciously aware of it or not, doesn't matter, because this is stuff that's running unconscious. All of us need to feel. I'm not saying you want to or you're consciously aware of it. I'm saying you need to operate, not have habits, addictions, fears, or phobias, to not have the negative shit going on. You need to feel loved, wanted, needed, appreciated, cared for, cherished, and valued. Now, at first hearing, they sound very similar. But if you get a thesaurus and check out the meanings of the words loved, wanted, needed, appreciated, cared for, cherished, and valued. They're all very different, in fact. Some relate to self-confidence, some to self-esteem, some to self-control, aka willpower, and to self-confidence, self-esteem, self-image, and self-control. Okay. Now, if I call them the Royals hierarchy of emotional needs, if there's been any negative impact on any of those, and for some people, it could be all of them. For some, it might just be two of them. For some, it might only be one, but it's a big impact. The point is, if there's any imbalance at all, so things aren't an even keel, then it will have a negative impact on the self-confidence, self-image, self-esteem, and self-control. And if there's been a negative impact on them and there's an imbalance, it will have a negative impact on their self-worth, self-respect, self-love, and positive selfishness. That's the ability to look after yourself, to then be able to help others. And if there's been any negative impact there, it will ultimately impact on their sense of self, their self-identity, their core them, and make them feel like there's something missing or unbalanced. And when I realized this, I realized the key to helping anyone overcome literally anything, whether it's a habit, addiction, fear, phobia, the only long-term consistent way of getting that result is to make it so that their personal laptop computer that's running the programs has got rid of all the negative shit that we talked about before, the mini traumas, any negative charges, energies, feelings or connections or triggers are kind of metaphorically cut and let go. Positive mental antivirus software installed, but the strongest part of that is so that it starts running programs that tells you you are loved, wanted, needed, appreciated, cared for, cherished and valued, so that your self-confidence, self-image, self-esteem, self-control balances out, so that your self-respect, self-worth, self-love and positive selfishness balances out, so that it kind of repairs those holes, makes you feel whole again, repairs your sense of self, your identity. And when that's done, then that's when you can achieve your peak performance. That's when you notice that that voice inside your head changes from that doubting Thomas of imposter syndrome of you're not good enough or whatever into you can do this. And that is the key to everything that I do with my clients. Sorry, that was a rather long way of answering how I got.
No, that's wonderful. Because I'm sitting here saying, okay, I can see where this is so beneficial. And I know our listeners are going to say, wow, how do I do that? And I suppose that's my next question. How do you take your clients through whatever steps or, you know, how do they get from here to there? How do they get from point A to point B?
Well, it used to be that I'd see people one-to-one in person. And then we had the pandemic and I started doing things online via Zoom. But then I also started thinking, well, hang on a minute. And this is going to sound really weird, but I've been quite fortunate. So I don't need tons of clients. Mm-hmm. I don't need the money. But I want to help as many people as possible. And I'm thinking about it. And the best way of doing this, I came up with, I thought, well, write a book. Mm-hmm. But there's a problem with books, you see. There's multi-millions, if not billions of pounds worth of self-help personal development books sold every year. And people keep buying more and more of them. Well, if they were that good, people wouldn't need to buy any more. So I looked into it and I thought, well, actually, no. A lot of these books are crap, but a lot of them are actually good. The problem is that people don't put into action what's in the book. So that saying that knowledge is power is rubbish. The truth is applied knowledge is power. You've got to take some action. You've got to have some skin in the game, as they say. So I thought the problem is people read things and that might not be their best way of learning for them personally. Or they just think at the time that's a great idea. They don't. It's not like they've got somebody there to hold them accountable. So what I came up with was tons of these QR codes. The book is full of them. So it does teach you with diagrams, various techniques and with words, but then it says, scan this QR code and it takes you to a video of me demonstrating the technique, guiding you through it, talking you through it. So it's like I'm there holding your hand. So you don't feel daft learning where to tap, which meridian energy points to tap, mm-hmm. to stop yourself having an anxiety attack or panic attack, or which way to wiggle your eyes and then breathe so that you can feel calm, relaxed and confident, but also uplifted, motivated and happy rather than feeling depressed. It's like having your own personal therapist there, but without having to pay $500 an hour, because it's only $17 or £14.70. And there's no upsell at the back of it because there doesn't need to be, because anything else you could need is at the QR codes. But even without buying the book, yep, that's right. Without buying the book, if you go to Magical Guru, magicalguru.co.uk, that place where you can see the embarrassing pictures of me and see my career resume, about halfway down that page, it makes mention of me putting together a virtual online complete mind therapy treatment system. And that video is there for everyone to participate with completely free of charge. And as long as you imagine what it says at the time it tells you to imagine it, your mind will fill in the blanks and it can be used to overcome any habit, addiction, fear or phobia and help with a whole bunch of other things. Now, the reason I say help and not totally cure is because you, for long-term sustainability, there are things that you might need that bit of extra support until your unconscious mind goes, you know what, I've seen enough reality, enough evidence that this has changed for the better that I can now truly believe it. Because in that moment, that second that your unconscious mind accepts and truly believes that things have changed is the moment that it has. And one of the best examples of that is the time, it's a genuine moment in history when there were, say, a dozen top elite athletes, all of the same training, physical ability, blah, blah, blah. But one of them, a guy called Roger Bannister, believed it would be possible to run a mile in 4 minutes. And he kept, he said, I will do it, I will do it. And nobody else did, he did. And then all these other people that in every other way were the same as him, except they didn't believe it was possible. The moment they witnessed Roger Bannister do it, in that split second, because they'd seen, you know, unarguable evidence, their brain went, actually, it is possible. And in the next couple of weeks, several more of them did it over the next month. All of those at the equal physical level, the vast majority, suddenly found they could do it. Well, all of them actually had it within them. It's just that Roger Bannister was the first to believe. Mm-hmm. So changing your beliefs, which is what these processes in shitnosis, helping you get over the shit in your life and get your shit together, are all about, is the most important thing by far. And you can do that as simply starting out as something like day by day in every way, I'm feeling better and better. And saying that 15 times in the morning when you just wake up, so you're not fully awake, you've just opened your eyes. It's what they call the hypnopompic state. That's where the critical faculty, analytical area, executive function, nightclub, dormant of the mind, call it what you will, hasn't started his job yet. So those repetitions can get into the computer. And last thing at night, just before you go to sleep, when you started yawning, you close your eyes. Well, the nightclub, he's gone to kip as well. So you give yourself some positive repetitions there. And between those repetitions, morning and night, day by day, over the course of a month, you get to the end of the 30 days, look back at where you were 30 days previous. And if you do it, you'll find that you'll go, wow, actually, the way I feel now compared to the way I felt then. And that will give you a kind of kick up the ass, metaphorically, that, you know what? It is actually worth putting a bit of effort in, because my book's not a wonder book. I guarantee you that this book can change your life, whether it's overcoming habits, addictions, fears or phobias, or just believing in yourself more, or peak performance, or whatever. Or if you've got a long-term, well, as it says on the back here, even things such as many health issues that are considered by many impossible to help can at the very least be massively improved in terms of your quality of life achieved. So, you know, people who've got chronic pain issues, you can, through your mind, reduce the level of chemical painkillers you need. There's so many things that some would call miraculous you can do, but reading a book on its own isn't going to do it. Even scanning the QR codes and watching me explain how to do those things isn't going to make the changes. You actually need to engage in the process, do the process, and repeat the processes. Then, when you do something different than you're doing now, you will get different results. But if you keep doing what you've always done, you'll keep getting what you've always got.
This is an amazing conversation. I am so happy that I get to talk with you this evening. I love this stuff. I love it. We just read a book about love yourself like your life depends on it.
It does, but it does depend on it. That's the thing. If you if you can't love yourself, how do you expect anyone else to? It's part of it, the flipping bit. But the other thing is, the key of it, as I said, with those emotional needs and pillars, is that that will cause an imbalance and it'll have a knock-on effect on other things, that then you end up with an issue over here that doesn't seem related to this. Well, that's because this here had a knock-on effect on that, that knocked that, that knocked that, that caused this. Uh-huh. And you've got to put everything back into balance to be able to get things right.
Okay, so step one is buy the book.
That's the easiest one. But step two, read it. Step three, follow the QR codes. Step four, actually repeat it and put it into action. But before all of that, I'm not here for the sole purpose of people spending 17 bucks on this. That is why on that page, magicalguru.co.uk, there is a 90-minute free virtual interactive treatment session that people can use and learn stuff from that they can start to use to start feeling better, even while they're waiting for the book to arrive from Amazon.
Very good. Very good. I am looking to make sure that I have your actual website. It's themagicalguru.co.uk.
That is the page that I've mentioned. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have other websites, but they're completely irrelevant to what we're talking about. That is the best one because it's got a free virtual treatment session on there. And people can have a laugh at me dressed as a clown as well.
I love it. I love it. And so hold up the book again. All right.
Hypnosis. Helping you get over the shit in your life and get your shit together, which incorporates what you can see on screen, which stands for Fully Unconscious Conditioning Knowledge Therapy Honoring Absolute Transformation System.
I love it. I love it. I love your humor. I love everything about you.
Well, they say laughter's the best medicine. Unless you're diabetic, then insulin seems to work much better. But seriously, look, laughter is one of the best forms of medicine. As Dr. Patch Adams, in the film of the same name that Robin Williams played the... Patch Adams is a real doctor that worked with kids and found that he dressed up as a clown. And he found that the kids who'd been told they only had a matter of weeks or days to live would live sometimes months or years, and in some occasions miraculously go into remission and live way longer. And he put it down to the fact that every day he did silly things to make them laugh, which releases the body's natural healing chemicals and whatnot. So this book's written in that manner. It's not for the easily offended, because there is adult humor in here. I would say it's an age 14 plus.
Okay, very good. Now, my question is, if folks want to connect with you, what is the easiest way for them to connect with you?
Any social media platform, you'll find me on as Jonathan Royal. My handle, I'm told by my daughter that's what they call it, the at thing, on all of them is Royal Hypnotist, RoyalHypnotist. The only platform where that wasn't available is YouTube, where my YouTube channel is Celebrity Hypnotist.
Okay. Very good. Easy to reach, easy to connect with. I love that you were here this evening. Thank you so much for being with us. This is
great. Thank you for having me on, Kathy. It's much appreciated helping me, spread the message.
Yes, I love it. And thank you for spending your evening, because I know we're quite a bit of time difference. And so now you're way after 11 o'clock coming up on midnight. And we're only
coming up to the witching hour, as they say. Yeah. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you. And
thank you so much
for sharing it.
And I will follow up with an email with you once our conversation is over, probably sometime tomorrow morning. And you'll receive a nice thank you email from me with links of our conversation this evening, so that you have those as well.
And I will share that around. Yep.
Yeah. So for those of you that are listening, please join us once a month. We're here every fourth Monday at 6 p.m. We have a different guest, and we want you to be fit as a fiddle as well. And so join us and learn how. So thank you so much for being with us.